Okay, now let me tell you, Zechariah, the meaning word Zechariah means Yehovah remembers or Yehovah remembered. Now, almost 70 years passed, and God remembered to deliver the people of God from the hands of enemy. When Zechariah talks in this chapter, and the angels reminds, "Oh Lord, how long you're going to wait? When you're going to deliver your people?" And God says, "Okay, this time has come and I'm going to deliver." And God says good words. Now, when you start reading this book about this people going to exile, Jeremiah talked about, Isaiah talked about, and many other prophets told them, if you don't live right, if you don't fear God, you are going to go to the enemy's territory. And enemy will treat you very bad. And some of the chapters and some of the books we read, it was horrible thing can happen to Israeli people, but they never listen. Because Jeremiah preached almost 40 years, and they didn't care. They start thinking, you know what? Every prophet says something, but there will be other prophets with a false prophet will tell them, don't listen to Jeremiah, don't listen to Isaiah, don't listen to other prophet, listen to us. God is so gracious, God is loving, God is not going to do all these horrible things these prophets are saying. But this thing did happen. And then we read in the book of Ezra, God raised one heathen king who is called Cyrus. Now many people are getting mixed up with the Cyrus and Darius, but Cyrus is the first king encouraged God's people to go to their land. Just go to the book of Ezra chapter 1 verses 1 to 3.
Now in the first year of Cyrus king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem.
See, very plainly, this King Cyrus talks about that God has given him authority in kingdoms all over the world, and he's a heathen king. But he says, now I want you to go, and I'm trying to help you to build the temple for God. And we learn book of Ezra. Then we learn book of Nehemiah, the time of Nehemiah. Read the Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1.
And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence.
Now, this is, we don't want to read all everything, but this is the time of Artaxerxes. Now, this time also Nehemiah was worried about his people, and he was looking like a sick man, and then the king said, what's the problem? And then he tells that my father's graves are open and nobody's going to take care, and I have to go and fix it. And you know that this king also told them to go and do the building. Because in the first time when the Cyrus said to these people, they just built the altar and they did not build the whole temple. And after that, some enemy came and tried to not to allow them to build the temple, and they'd stop. And then time of Nehemiah, they start building again, and there also they had a problem. Day and night they have to get the sword in their hand and light, and then work in the night time. Then time of Haggai. Just read the Haggai chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. This is another king now, Darius. Haggai chapter 1 verse 1 and 2.
In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is now come, the time that the Lord's house should be built.
Now, here this time, Haggai tells the people, You are telling the time has not come to build the temple. You are building your houses, you are building your mansions, and the house of God is not built. So he tried to encourage, and we studied the book of Haggai already. So now is the time of the Darius and the second year and the sixth month. Now God's words came to him, and then he said, Now this is the time to go and build the temple. The same time, Zechariah also helped these people. And Zerubbabel and all those people were working with them. So let's go back to the now, Zechariah chapter 1, and start reading verse 1.
In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers.
Now here it says, the same king, and the second years of this kings, and the eighth months. So God talked to Haggai when he was 6 months. Now 2 months later, he talks to Zechariah. So the Zechariah, Haggai, Zerubbabel, and all those people start building the temple and Jerusalem, and they almost built the temple and everything. Now here the time is gone, and the time has come to tell all the Israeli people, get out the Babylon and come out. But you can see the time of Cyrus. Cyrus says, you go and build the temple and help the people, and God has told me to do this. But many Israeli people did not go fully. Then time of Ezra, some people came, and time of Nehemiah, some people came, and people start building. The time of Haggai and Zechariah, they almost build the temple. But then now we see what the word of God is saying to Zechariah. Please read verse 3.
Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now here he is saying to Israeli people, You turn to me, and then I'll turn to you. If you remember, we read in the book of Lamentation, and the last chapter we read, in that chapter they were praying and asking forgiveness, and they said, We committed sin, and Lord, when you're going to take revenge, and how you're going to deliver us? And they were praying and crying to God and weeping, and we finished that lamentation last week. So here he's saying, God saw these people's sorrow and pain and suffering, and they almost turned to God in a time of lamentation, crying to God and telling, Lord God, we know our forefather committed sin, and we committed sin, and you forgive us, and you bring us out of this misery. And I believe that God heard their prayer. Verse 4, Zechariah 1, verse 4.
Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord.
Now here again he's saying, you remember your forefathers. Jeremiah said our forefather did it. Lamentation, the Israeli people say our forefather did it. So he's reminding them again, don't do exactly what your forefather did. Now this is the time to repent and time to turn to God. The time is almost fulfilled. If you remember, God told Abraham, Your descendants, your children, will be going to Egypt for 400 years. And after that, I will deliver them. They were there living very joyfully. They had a best land, and they were prosperous. And when Joseph died, another king comes and start persecuting these people. And then they didn't know what to do, and they start crying to God. And then God said, I heard your cry, and then he sent Moses to bring these people. Now, same thing, these people are crying and weeping, and some of them are still there, and they, even the Cyrus, Artaxerxes, and Darius, did not give them a hard time. They told them to get out and go and do the building and everything. But surrounding people were still harassing them, and they did not have peace. So in this time, God is using Zechariah, telling these people, they are going to be free. They are going to be coming out of this place. But at the same time, in this chapter, only a little bit you will learn that God is going to deliver this. But mainly God is telling to Zechariah for the future timing. What God is going to do with the enemies, and how the children of Israel will be going to the promised land, and how they are going to be prosperous. But the people who are listening to Zechariah's message, they would not understand Zechariah is saying for today or Zechariah is saying for the future. They didn't understand. Only we know, because we know the prophecy and we learned the prophecy. Okay, verse 5.
Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever?
Now here he reminding them, where are your forefathers? Means they all died. Now can you imagine when they went to the exile, this was 70 years. But some of the people were tortured and killed. We remember, we learned how they torture and how they kill their young warriors and their older people and their girls and their wives, and everybody were tortured and killed and destroyed. And so very few people lived longer period of time. For example, Daniel. Daniel lived a long time because he was in a time of Nebuchadnezzar, he was time of Belshazzar, and then time of Cyrus, and time of Artaxerxes, and time of Darius. So he lived a long, long life. Not only that, when we learn about in the book of Zechariah, the people came from there, the Daniel's name is there also. He might be very old at that particular time. So many people died, but very few people survived. For example, this Zechariah. Zechariah also was a very young man, so he survived. He saw everything, and some other prophets died. And so he's saying the prophets died, your people died, but the God's word lives forever. Verse 6.
But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us.
Now here he's saying, whatever the prophet said, whatever the word of God said, that word of God fulfilled. And exactly what the word of God says, it happened to your forefathers, and they died, and they also, and you also remembered, and you said, exactly what God said, it happened to us. That means God's word will never go wrong. When God says something, he will fulfill. Isaiah chapter, I think 55 verse 11, it says, when God sends the word from his mouth, that word will not return void. Please read.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
This is what the word of God says. When God says something, or he sends the word, that word does job. And the word of God says, Jesus Christ is called the word of God. When God sent his son, he accomplished his work, he finished the task, and he pleased the Lord, and then he went to heaven. So that means God sends somebody his word come true, and his words fulfill what God says. But that's why he's saying, when I'm saying something, you better listen. If you do not listen to me, my word will go exactly what I said, and you will be destroyed. And you will be punished. So now is the time to return to God. Go back to Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 7.
Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sabbat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth.
Now, here he sees Zechariah saw the vision. And he saw an angel riding on the red horse. And when he was looking at him and talking with him, and then he saw another look like angels, but they were like behind him, and he was in a valley, so he's looking from above and looking at these angels, and there were other angels were riding on the horses. So he got confused. He said, I don't understand why these horses I'm seeing. And so the angel explained to him, this says, let me tell you what these horses is all about. Now he's trying to explain to him, these horses are actually the God's sent, like a spirit sent all around the world to check what's happening. And the spirit of God sends an angelic spirit, just like the word of God said, the angels also like a spirit, and they go everywhere because they have no boundaries. They can go anywhere. But here, if the Zechariah would not know how the if the spiritual angels, he showed him the horses and the riders. So in the olden days, everyone who has the message, the kings will send the horseman on the riding and give the message to the people, and they will go and tell what the king is saying. The same way God is sending these horses. And when Zechariah was saying, why I see the horses, he said, these horses God sent, and these horses actually the riders. Riders are going back and forth all around the world and seeing what's happening. From that we know God always help us, and the angel he sends all around us to take care of us. When you are born again, child of God, go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Now here is the ministering spirits, the angels, they go when you are born again, and they go and go around you and protect you because that is their job. Now here, these are the spirits, they are going and checking what's happening. Actually, they might be protecting all these Israeli people. If they are not, Israeli people will not be alive. They will be killed. And what they saw, at this time, they saw they went all around and they got a news. Let's see what the news they bought. Go back to the Zechariah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10.
Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years?
Now, here these angels are giving the report. We went back and forth all around the world, and what we saw, no war, no fighting, people are resting, nobody's killing anybody. Now, they are living in good prosperity. Now, somebody will say, everything was going okay. So, why we should be upset? But here the word of God is saying, the angel, when he heard the news, there is no fighting, no war, everybody's resting, And nothing new happening. So the angel, when he heard, angels start talking to God. Lord, how long you're going to wait? How long this will be happening? He was not satisfied. This, the people are not fighting. Everybody's resting. Everybody's doing good. But at the same time, he was worried about the children of Israel. Children of Israel, they are in exile for almost 70 years. And when you going to let them go? These people are not in peace. Because, you know, some people living in some other countries, and other countries overpowering them. So they want freedom. And everybody needs the freedom. So Israeli people, right now, nobody was persecuting them, but they needed freedom. He says, how long you're going to wait? And how long this is Jerusalem and Judah and these people will be having slavery with these people? And then he, the words reminds Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 to 14. Please read. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14.
For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive.
Now here, Jeremiah already said what God is going to do. And so the angel is reminding to God, according to the words of Jeremiah, your thoughts are good about Israeli people. And you don't want them to be in exile. You're going to free them. Now, this is the time. The 70 years are already passed. When these people are going to get out of this exile. And that's what the angel was praying to God and asking to God. Let's go back to the Zechariah chapter 1, verse 13.
And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction.
Now here the Lord is saying, you know what? I was a little angry at the Israeli people. And that's why I sent the Babylonian people to capture them. But what happened? These people captured the Israeli people, and they persecuted more than what I wanted them to do. So that means these people horribly destroyed my people and did whatever they wanted to do. I did not give them this authority to do it. Means sometimes you tell somebody, a babysitter, you know what? If my child does something, I give you authority to punish. And they take advantage and they beat them so much and destroy them. And then the mother and the father, I didn't tell you to do this. I just told him to just, you know, spank them. But you're almost killing my child. That's the kind of thing God is saying. I gave these people to my people, to you, to just little bit punishment I wanted to show them. But you destroying my people and punishing my people too much. Verse 16.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem.
Now here he's saying, because you did not do mercy on my people, I'm going to bring these people back to my country. Go to Isaiah chapter 47, verses 1 to 6.
Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate.
Now here is saying, all these Babylonian kings, now he says, your time has come. You will not have your throne, but you will be sitting in the dust. Okay, go ahead.
Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man.
Now he says, I will take the revenge.
As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke.
See, he said, I gave these people in your hand, but you didn't show any mercy. You were very cruel with my people, with the prophet, with the elderly people. You never gave them respect, and you destroy my people. So the time has come. I'm going to destroy you. Your kingdom will be gone, and you will be sitting in the dust. So this is what God says is going to happen. Now the Zechariah, seeing all these things, and the angel told him, God is giving to give you good news that your people will be out, and God is so merciful, and what God says through Jeremiah is going to come true. Now let's go back to the Zechariah chapter 1, verse 16 and 17.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem.
Now here is saying, I am going to build my house. Now when you go from here to a little bit further, you will know. This is not he's talking about the time of Ezra, time of Nehemiah, or time of Haggai, or time of Zechariah. Because they already built the temple, if you remember. And they were building the temple, they were praising God and glorifying God, and they were thanking God. But what Zechariah is seeing is not the same situation what happened to after building the temple. He's saying, I'm going to go and send the angel. He's going to measure the Jerusalem and see what's going to happen. Let's read the verse 17.
Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my city through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, four horns.
Now, here is saying what God is going to do. He's going to give the Jerusalem, or the city of Jerusalem, prosperity, and they're going to spread around so much, and they will be so blessed. Jerusalem, Zion, and all the Israeli people will be prosperous. When the Zechariah or the Haggai, Nehemiah, and Ezra, they were building the temple, that time these people were not prosperous. These people were not flourishing because they were still under the Babylonian kingdom. They were, little bit freedom was given, but they were not entirely free. So that's what the problem was. Now the Zechariah is telling, not only after the building temple, he's trying to say, God is going to be building the new temple and going to new place, and that's what he's saying. And what's going to happen? All your enemy will be destroyed. Let's read verse 19.
And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.
Now, he says, verse 18, he lifted his eyes and he saw four horns. You remember when we were reading the book of Hosea, book of Lamentation, we talk about horns, and he says, you destroyed our horns, and you raised the enemy's horns, and you're destroying us. You remember reading those things? So here he's saying, I saw four horns. And so he said, what are these four horns? Now the Israeli people were defeated by people like Babylonian, Assyrians, Egyptians, and all these people. They were like power hungry, and they were like an enemy, like having horns to destroy the Israeli people. So he said, those are the horns he's seeing. Verse 20.
And the Lord showed me four carpenters.
Now he saw these horns. He said, what is these horns? He said, these are the horns. Destroy Israeli people and scatter them all around. So now I'm sending the four carpenters. Actually, the word should not be carpenters. Word should be craftsmen. Because these horns may be iron horns. So now iron horns has to be destroyed. So he is saying, I'm sending four craftsmen. And they are going to destroy these four horns. That means all these four nations around the Israeli people, they harassed you, and we are going to destroy them. Verse 21.
Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it.
Now he said, what's going to happen? These Israeli people, the other nations with the strong iron horns, they destroyed them. But now these craftsmen coming and destroying all these enemies, and they will scatter them and they will destroy them. When the Israeli people came to build the temple, did you see all of a sudden those nations were destroyed? No. Those nations were still there, and they were building the temple, and they were there, but they were still slavery. But now he's talking about the future things. Let's read the Psalm 75, verse 9 and 10.
But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted.
See, he says all the horns of the wicked will be cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be exalted. That means Israeli people will have power again, and the enemy's power will be defeated. And that's why he's singing about. Now, let's go to the Zechariah chapter 2, and starting from verse 1.
I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand.
Now, this time he saw an angel, and he has the measuring line in his hand. Now, this angel is coming to measure the Jerusalem. And we saw when God wants to destroy, he said, there was a measuring line, and he was saying, these are the place will be destroyed. But now, God sent another angel to measure the Israeli people and see how big the land is. Actually, this measurement is just saying it, but that they did not do measurement. They just saying, forget about this measurement because the people are not going to live in the boundary. Let's read the words too.
Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her.
Now see, when you read this, this is not the time of Haggai this thing happened. Now the God is saying, you know what, measuring the Jerusalem, but he says, now what's going to happen? Israeli people will come back from all over the world. They will not have room. So the people will be living in Jerusalem. They will be living out of Jerusalem, and they will have their animals all around. So it will be a lot of prosperity. It didn't happen yet today. Israel is in a free land right now, but they have Gaza, the enemy, right there to destroy them. So this thing will be happening in future. So God is showing him what's going to happen in the future. All this enemy will be destroyed, all four corners of the Israeli people, all their powers will be destroyed, and you will coming back to Israel, and then I'm going to give you prosperity, and you will be flourish everywhere, and everything you need, God will be supplying. Let's read the verse 5. And here is in the verse 5, it says, I will be the firewall around the Israel. At this time, he says, there will be no wall because the people will be so many. So he says, no wall should be built, but I will be their wall and I'll be firewall. Now, if you see today, the Israeli people have the big wall all around, so these Muslim people should not get in. But still they go and they do some harm to Israeli people. So the word of God says that the last time when the Israeli people will come and God will be all around like a wall of fire. You remember when God sent Adam out of the garden, what did he do? He put the angel and the firing sword. So all around there was a fiery sword going all around so nobody can go and eat that fruit. The same way God said, this time when I'll bring all people to me and I will defeat all these people, and that this will happen in the time of Revelation. Jesus Christ will come as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will take hold of the false prophet. He will take up the Antichrist, put them in a lake of fire, and take the devil and tie him and put him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. At that particular time, there won't be no wall around the Israeli people because they will be living in safety and living in prosperity. Let's read the Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1 to 3, and Isaiah chapter 60, 18 to 20.
In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
That time, peace and prosperity to Israel nation. Chapter 60, Isaiah, and verses 18 to 22.
Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation. The Lord will hasten it in his time.
Okay, you have to read the whole chapter. But the point I'm making, this, the timing is given for last days in the time of millennium. Just like when we read sound like in heaven. The time will prosperity, peace, and nobody will be doing any war, and they will be living peacefully, no borders, and God will be the wall of fire all around, and no one will come to destroy them. But after the 1,000 years, the devil will be loose, and then devil goes to Gog and Magog and say, let's come and destroy the Israeli nation because there is no wall anymore. And so they come to unwall villages and unwall wall to destroy. But the word of God says, fire comes from heaven and destroys all the enemies. That is the last battle. And after that, the judgment. But here we see Zechariah is seeing the future vision. Okay, let's go back to the Zechariah. Chapter 2 and verse 6.
Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon.
Now here is saying, time has come to get out of the Babylon. But now again, Zechariah is not talking about that Babylon. They were already out and they were already there. But this is the time, if you read in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, the two Babylon, one is spiritual Babylon and one is physical Babylon, they will be destroyed, and Babylon will be destroyed within a one day. And so here is saying, Israeli people, get out. Today also, there are so many people living in Iraq and Iran, Israeli people. But God is telling them, get out, time has come. Go to the Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 20.
Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob.
Now here he says, get out of this place, go forth and sing and praise God, because you're not going to live in a slavery anymore, so you will have joy and peace and safety in your land. Let's go back to the Zechariah chapter 2. And start reading from verse 8.
For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye.
Now here the word of God is saying, the time will come, the enemy will not hurt you. And if somebody hurts you, they will be hurting the apple of my eye. That means, you will be so precious to me, so holy nations, and you will be just like my eyes. I will take care of you, and nobody will be able to touch you again. And that's the promise. Now, this is not for today. This is for the future. Israeli people are sending the rocket all the time. So this is for the future prophecy he's talking about. Verse 9.
Behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me.
Now he says, I will shake my hand, means I will take care of them, and nobody will fight you again. Verse 10.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord.
So here is saying, sing. O daughter of Zion, means Jerusalem and Israeli people, sing, because I am coming to dwell among you. Now you know, when the Zerubbabel and all those people, they built the temples, God didn't come personally to stay there, because if God was there, and then those people will not be harassing them, and they don't have to take the light in their hand and the sword in their hand and defend themselves. This is talking about the millennium kingdom. Let's read the Isaiah chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Read verses 1 to 6.
And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedst me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation.
See, they will be singing and praising and glorifying God and said, Jehovah is our salvation. Okay.
Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things, this is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
See, these people will be singing and praising and glorifying God, because the God will be in their midst. And this is the time of millennium. Okay, let's go back to the Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11.
And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee.
Now here also said, in that particular time, in that millennium, many nations will join with the Israeli people. Not for fighting, but the people saved nations, the people who are believing in Jehovah, are believing in Christianity, those people will be coming. All the nations will gather together and live in Israel in safety, because there won't be any war and no problems, because all the people now harass Christian people around the world. Nobody will harassing any people there, and they will be living in safety. Let's read the Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 5.
And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it.
See, all the nations shall flow unto it. coming to Jerusalem. Okay.
And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers.
The time of prosperity, time of peace, is in the millennium. So the Zechariah is seeing the vision, not the rebuilding the temple, what the Haggai and other people were doing. God is saying, okay, they're going to build this temple, but I'm talking about the future temple. I'm going to talk about the future Israeli peace. And I'm talking about the all the enemies will be destroyed and you will be living in safety. I don't think they understood at that particular time, but we know what the prophecy was all about. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13.
And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation.
Now here he's saying, now be quiet in the presence of God, because God is going to bring all these people in Jerusalem. There will be peace, there will be prosperity. The enemy will not fight with Israeli people, and that's the day Israeli people are looking today. Because they are harassed every day, and they are looking for peace. And in the book of Zechariah we'll be reading, that the people will be hitting on their chest and saying, oh Messiah, we pierced you, we crucified you, and they will be calling Messiah to come back. The time is coming. So in the book of Zechariah, we read first and second chapter. They are small chapters. But we are learning that God is showing Zechariah several things. God showed him 8 visions. And so different visions we'll be seeing. The Zechariah is not an easy book to understand. Daniel is not an easy book to understand. But God has given us grace to understand. It is making so easy. This is not the Zechariah talking about the time of Haggai, but he's talking about the time of future. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God, and you have called us with a definite high calling. We are reading and learning the future things. But Lord Jesus, we have peace because the Prince of Peace has come. And we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And according to Psalm 91, the thousands will be falling on a right and left, but it will not hurt us. No deadly things will harm us because we are living in Christ. So Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to you. Give us grace to reach out and tell somebody what God is doing today and what God is going to do in future and what is the hope of Christ for the nations. Give us grace to tell others about Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we are not living in fear and anxiety. We are living peace and prosperity because of Christ. Christ has given us eternal life. We are not lacking anything because Jesus Christ is all-sufficient God. Bless your people and let them know God has started a good work in us, and he is going to complete it. And let us go and tell somebody the good news of the kingdom of God. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.